Well, lovely to be here. I'm going to tell a joke, and apologies for the people that heard this last Sunday morning, but I have to tell it again, and I'll explain why at the end, why I'm telling it again. We're also going to do a kind of a whistle-stop tour through Jesus' healing ministry and Peter's healing ministry, and hopefully at the end get to a point of actually knowing a model of how to pray for people for healing, for God to touch their lives. And this may or may not work, but we may even end up doing this in a little while towards the end. So, on to Paddy McGurty. Paddy McGurty was an elderly Irish farmer, and he had a road accident, and he was suing the delivery van that drove into him. And they were in the courtroom, and the hotshot solicitor for the delivery company asked Paddy McGurty when he was in the stand, saying, "Did you or did you not say at the scene of the accident when you were asked that you were fine?" And Paddy said, "Well, the thing is, I'd got my favourite cow in the back of the truck, and we were driving along, and the solicitor interrupted him and said, 'Could you please simply answer the question, did you or did you not say you were fine at the scene of the accident?'" "Well, the thing is, my favourite cow was Betsy, and she was in the truck." And he interrupted him again. He turned to the judge and he said, "Your Honour, I am simply trying to establish the fact that the scene of the accident, when this man was asked, how was he, he said, 'I am fine.'" However, by this time, the judge was a little bit interested in Paddy McGurty's story. So he said, "No, please proceed." So Paddy McGurty carried on and said, "Well, I got my favourite cow, Betsy, in the truck. And we were driving along, and this delivery van went straight across the crossroads and hit me, and we ended up in the ditch, and the truck was a write-off, and poor Betsy was in the back, and she was moaning and groaning and in agony. Fortunately, one of the police came along, the Garda, with a gun. He could see what was going on with Betsy, and he shot her and put her out of her misery. And then he came over to me, still with his gun in his hand, and said, 'How are you?' 'Well, how would you answer, Your Honour?' 'I'm fine.' So, I'm fine, you're fine, we're all fine together. Or are we?" The reason to be explained a little bit later on. Miracles and healing. It is a gift. In 1 Corinthians 12, it's listed as a gift of the Spirit. Amazing, just the whole supernatural touch that God gives to people. A gift of healing that, not just in medical science, although I think that's very, very important, but, you know, a supernatural gift of healing that God gives us as a gift. And it's wonderful to know that's what God does. There are lots of ordinary miracles, though. Healing and miracles is a topic for tonight. There are lots of what I call ordinary miracles. So things like, well, you know, we're here. We actually made it out tonight. We didn't give in to depression. We didn't give in to distractions. We didn't give in to all sorts of things that could have hindered us from coming here. We actually made it. That's an achievement. That's perhaps a miracle. You're hearing me. At least I think you're hearing me. And there is right now an incredible process, miraculous process going on. That inside your ear, you've got a thing that vibrates, and it's attached to bones. And those bones vibrate and they send messages to your brain, and you interpret these sounds into language and understand my language. And that is a process which is going on. Inside your body there are cells, billions of cells that are so complex. The kind of mechanisms within cells, it is, I'm not a biologist, but it's just amazing what goes on in any single cell in our body. And it's happening billions of times right now in your body. And these things do not happen by random chance, as it were. There's miracles that are going on all the time. There's miracles which are being maintained by God, executed by God, and he's just present in the miraculous all the time. Let's not forget medical science, pills, surgery, etc. That is also God's process of healing, so let's not forget that. By the way, I can't do justice to this topic tonight. Just healing and miracles, 20 minutes-ish, don't time me. I can't put this together in a nicely kind of nuanced way so it's all perfectly balanced, so you're just going to have to cope with some of the rough edges of it. But I will say one thing before I move on to talk about the healing that God does and miracles that he does, that there are lots of, I want to call them non-miracles. In fact, you know, we just heard this evening in terms of ex-dad. We've been praying for him, and he died. That was not what we were praying for. There's, you know, like my son Nathan. He's not here tonight, so I can speak about him. But, you know, I prayed my socks off for my son Nathan when he was 9 and he started having seizures. And he's 35. He's improved immensely. But he's not healed. And so I've got hundreds, thousands of unanswered prayers, as it were, stacked away in my life. So there's lots of non-miracles, which we're all aware of, because we've all got those kind of things in our lives. But there are miracles. There are times when God has intervened and done wonderful things. A friend of mine said, we actually need, when it comes to the miraculous and when it comes to healing, we actually need a theology of failure. We need a mindset based on the scriptures that enables us to handle things that didn't work out. Because if we don't have that theology, then we'll probably lose our faith at the end of the day. And if we think that we're going to have the supernatural things all the time, and when it doesn't happen, we'll think, well, where was God? But fortunately, there is the theology of that in the kingdom. You know, the kingdom is now, and it's not yet. And we're strung between God's presence and activity now and the future, which is to come. And this is where we are. So theology of failure. I've got a friend, I don't know if I mentioned him before, a friend called Eddie McGill. He would really laugh if he knew what I was talking about this evening. Eddie and I have a good sparring relationship, and he was in the former church down in Abbey Hill Baptist Church, where we used to be. And a couple of events in his life. He had something called scarlatina, and so it's a kind of, it's like scarlet fever actually, but you're going to get on your hands, and it's a fever thing. So he had this. So I boldly went and I prayed with Eddie to get well, and that God would deliver him from the scarlatina. And 3 days later, I'd got it. So I laid hands on him and I picked up his infection. How about that for a joke? He had another difficult personal health situation, and two of us went round to pray with him. And within 3 hours, he was being stretchered off to the hospital. So here's my healing ministry, folks. So I'm just sharing that, just to kind of give an element of reality to this, that this is where we are. Nevertheless, God does things, and there are miracles, and there are miracles of healing today. And we'll share some of those. But right now, I want to do this whistle-stop tour of Jesus' healing ministry, and you'll need a Bible for this. And you'll need, first of all, to turn to Mark chapter 5, which, for those of you who aren't sure where Mark is, that is on page 1008. So the page 1008, Mark 5, and we're going to read from verse 35. Actually, just a break from my voice. Would somebody read this, please? From verse 35 to 43. Great, thank you.
Do you have the mic on, Derek?
Hand mic, lollipop mic. Okay. Go for it, because we've got it in front of us as well.
While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha, kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat.
Thank you. Well, healing is one thing, resurrection is another. The girl had died. And she was the daughter of a synagogue ruler called Jairus, and Jesus had been healing loads of people. Everywhere he went, he healed people. It would have been fantastic to have been there and to have seen and observed that. But here Jairus says, "Look, my daughter's dying, please come." And he comes, and on the way there, he is told that the girl has died. So that is just the worst possible news that somebody could have. Your hopes are finally dashed. And Jesus says the most amazing thing to him. He says, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Now, just imagine what that would do to a man who just lost his daughter. What do you mean, "Don't be afraid, just believe"? What are you going to do? What do you mean? What are you going to do about this? And it says, it's interesting, when they get there, there's all the kind of women wailing and just sorrowing, and Jesus puts them all out, and he says, he's told that she's dead, and it says, Jesus, ignoring what they said, and it's only Jesus who can ignore what, as it were, medical science can determine, but Jesus ignored that. And just note what happens here. He puts everybody out, which is verse 40, even though they were laughing at him. He put everybody out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, and went in where the child was. So he goes in, it's kind of slightly private, and he says to her, "Talitha kum." And I don't know how well up you are in your Aramaic, but that means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Get up. Get up. And immediately the girl stood up, and she walked around. So it's just a phenomenal miracle that Jesus just brought this girl back to life. But who was there with him? It was Peter and James and John. They were there. They were watching and observing what Jesus did. So, let's turn over a few pages to Luke chapter 9 now, which is page 1039. And let's just read a few verses of this. And from verse 1, Luke chapter 9, verse 1. When Jesus had called the 12 together, you remember that he'd chosen the 12 disciples and they were with him observing all these things. When he called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And then he gives some various instructions about this. So, there you are, Peter, or John, or James, and you have seen Jesus do lots and lots of miracles. But now, Jesus is saying to you, your turn. Your turn. So, how would you feel if that was you? Sent out two by two, off to the nearest village, and on some of them further afield. I think I would be saying, if I was paired up with somebody like Peter, kind of walking along and say, "Well, look, I'm really nervous about this, but when we get there, you do the talking and I'll pray." I'd just be terrified about this. He's expecting the disciples to do what he had been doing, but yet that was exactly what happened. Jesus healed people and he passed this on to the apostles. And that's what happened. They come back all excited about it. Miracles have happened. And they were just terribly encouraged. So, Jesus heals people. The apostles heal people. Just turn over the page to Luke 10. Luke 10, verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out, sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs amongst wolves. Don't take a purse or bag of sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. And he just gives them more and more instructions there about what to do when they're accepted, about what to do when they're not accepted. But it says to go and to heal people, to preach and to heal. So, again, just put yourself in that situation. You know, you suppose you were one of those 72. I was just kind of along for the ride, you could be saying. I was just here because I really like to be around Jesus. I just love being around him. I love listening to his teaching, and I love what he does. And I love fascinating seeing these miracles, you know, these lepers getting up and they having their skin cleansed and the cripples being... I love watching that. And then he turns and he says to me or to us, you do it too. You go and do this. It was passed on. Jesus, to the apostles, to 72... And it just kind of rolls on for right down through time. So let's now just go a little bit further on to Acts chapter 9. So Acts 9, what we've got, that's, we're going to be on page 1103. okay. Jesus has come, died, risen, ascended. And now in Acts, what we have is the progress of the gospel, the church is being formed and so on. And people have been believing all over the place. And it's just some very exciting times as well as some persecution coming. But verse 32, as Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the saints in Lydda. So he went on a tour. There he found a man named Aeneas, a paralytic who'd been bedridden for 8 years. Fascinating. So what was Peter going to do with this paralytic? Was he going to just sit there and listen and encourage him or provide a meal for him or whatever? Well, on this occasion, no. All of those things would have been good, but he simply says, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and tidy your mat. And immediately Aeneas got up. And all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. So Peter meets a paralytic. I'm getting nervous now. Peter meets a paralytic and says to him, be healed. Jesus heals you. And as a result of that miracle, everybody in those towns, those villages, become Christians. Amazing. That's what happened. Carrying on, though, and this is what really fascinates me here. In Joppa, there's a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. So Peter gets the message that this person has died, and he's to go there. And I remember John Wimber joking about this. You know, the kind of normal reaction was, okay, so you want me to go and do the funeral? But not so. So Peter goes, verse 39, Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room, then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said to her, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. Just pick out what happened there. She had died, and Peter goes, and there's all the wailing and the grieving that is going on, and Peter gets there, and he sends them all out of the room. Has this got a kind of echo? Has this got a reflection, something that happened before when Peter was with Jesus? Does this resonate? He sent them out of the room. And turning towards the dead woman, he said, I mean, if I had been there, I'd have said, God help, I'm really nervous. But he said, Tabitha, get up. You know, she was called Tabitha, but it's almost exactly the same sound of words that Jesus had said when he healed Jairus' daughter. There it was Talitha Kuum. Talitha Kuum. And here it's Tabitha Kuum. So it's like Peter, he didn't know what to do, but he went in and said, now what would have Jesus done in this situation? All right, well, let's get rid of all these people. So could you mind going out, please? And he moves them all out. As he gets down on his knees, and he said, God, I really don't know what to do. And you said, Talitha Kuum. Oh, she's called Tabitha. Oh. Tabitha Kuum. And she got up. Another miracle. I find that fascinating. Because what I think is going on here is that Peter had really learned well from the ministry of Jesus. He'd seen Jesus do it, and now he was doing it, and he was operating in exact, almost word for word in the way that Jesus did. So, the gift of healing is present today. I think we as Christians are encouraged to pray for healing for people. I think some people have a particular effectiveness in it, and you could say they have a gift of healing. Statistically, I don't think I have a gift of healing because I prayed for lots of people and I've got ill. But I still keep going for it, actually, because I think this is part of what we should be doing as Christians. When somebody is suffering, let's say, let's pray for you and to ask God to come. And I've got loads of reasons in my own heart and in my own life why that could be undermined in me. But I still think God does this, so we should pray. We should keep going for this. I remember it was at a conference, and it was one of those moments when you all kind of turned around and you're just going to pray for people. And the guy that was just in front of me, he turned around, and I said, so what would you like me to pray for you? And he said, well, I had a motorbike accident 3 years ago, and I've had constant pain in my shoulder. And as a result of that, I can't move I can't rotate my arm more than that. So I said, well, let me pray then. And so I prayed my best prayer. Now, I've got lots of good prayers, but I prayed my best prayer on that occasion. And so I just put my hands on him, and I simply asked that God's Spirit would come and touch him. And then I prayed about his shoulder and his hand, and his arm, his elbow rather. And then I said, rather nervously, so are you feeling anything? And he said, well, actually, the pain's all gone, and I can do that now. Yes! I was so excited. I didn't do a thing, as it were. All I did was pray. You know, I don't have power to heal. Nothing came from me to bring healing to him. I just prayed, and God did it. And, you know, I'm sure we've all, amongst us, we've probably got stories like that, of praying, perhaps nervously, perhaps with unbelief even, just wondering if God's going to do something, and God has actually done something. He's answered and taken charge of the situation and brought healing. So I tell you some stories of non-healing, but there's one of healing, and there are lots, actually. There are lots. You know, God does this. I used to have a bit of trouble with my knees, and I remember it's some years ago now, actually, John, but you may not even remember, but you and Malcolm prayed for me there, and so nothing instant, but actually my knees are fine, thank you very much. Thank you for praying for me. you know, God is a healer. The biggest miracle of all, of course, is salvation. It's actually knowing that we're saved and going to heaven because of what Jesus has done for us. But healing is what God does because he loves us, because he's full of compassion. So, talk has finished, workshop begins. Here's what I do if or when I pray for somebody. And I have four things. I do four things. In my head, I just kind of run through this. And obviously, I have to be flexible, but in my head, I run through this. First of all, it's God. So I simply ask that God, the Holy Spirit, would come and minister to that person. I can't do it. I don't possess power to heal. So I ask that God would come, the Holy Spirit. So you simply ask that the Holy Spirit would come and minister to that person. That's point one, asking for the Holy Spirit to come. And then point two is to pray about the particular issue, knees, chest, head, whatever it is, just to pray for that particular issue that they've asked prayer for. And just to speak to it and ask for God to deal with it and to speak to the pain and ask for this to be dealt with. So that's the second thing. First thing is ask God to come and to do the ministry, and then you pray, as it were, on behalf of God's Spirit to touch that particular issue. That's two. And then three, this is a tricky one, but actually after a little while you can stop and ask or discuss with them. How's it going? Are you feeling anything? Are you noticing anything? And sometimes people are noticing things, and sometimes they're not. And don't get discouraged if they say, no, I'm not feeling anything. But simply to ask is very helpful. And sometimes that gives you a clue as to how you might be able to pray some more for them. You know, they might say, well, I'm feeling a little bit of heat in my knee, or I'm feeling very peaceful, or whatever it is. Well, you know, whatever they say, use that as a hint, as a kind of encouragement to, and that's the fourth thing, more, to pray a little bit more for them. And then, so pray some more and ask for God to work in their lives. So that's what I do, that's in my head. I don't say this is inspired by the model of Jesus or the model of Peter, but it's just I learned this and this is how I do it. So I thought, well, I'll teach you that as well. So first of all, it's God. Secondly, it's pray. Thirdly, it's discuss. And fourthly, it's more. I said this is a workshop. Say this with me. First of all, it's God. Secondly, it's pray. Third, it's discuss. And fourth, it's more. Got it? I think I'll tell a Uganda story and then we'll just see. What I want you to be doing, actually, is just thinking. Going back to Paddy McGurty, by the way. We're all fine, aren't we? We're all fine. Nobody's ill. Nobody's got any problems. I'm absolutely fine. Don't want any prayer, etc., etc. But I would like you to be thinking, actually, if I had a chance just this evening for someone to pray with me about whatever it is, then we can do this. We can do this and ask for God to work. So you can just be thinking about that. So a Uganda story. I've dined off my Uganda trip many times now, actually, but I've been a couple of times to Uganda, and one mission trip with four of us went out into the kind of mud hut and straw-roofed villages with the Anglican churches, and it was just such a huge learning experience for me. But praying for people, testifying, preaching, and it was so exciting. Whole villages coming out, and when we offered prayer for people, whether for them to become Christians or for prayer for healing, it's kind of like everybody wanted prayer. And so the four of us standing in a row, one, two, three, four of our team, and they form an orderly queue, you know, about 20 or 30 people waiting for prayer for each of us going down here. And, you know, I'm at the end here thinking, help, Lord, what do you do? I'm nervous about this. So I just do my kind of four things, you know, God, pray, discuss, and more. And so I was doing that, but through translation. And so the first person came and I asked him what his problem was, and he said, I've got a headache. And so I pray, I do my best prayer, and I pray for his headache to go. And then I ask him through translation, I said, how's your headache now? Are you feeling anything? He said, well, it's gone. You're just saying that because I'm the white person. Next person comes, got a stomach ache, whatever it is. And so I pray for him, and then I say, so how are you feeling? Are you noticing any difference? He said, well, it's gone. And it was like that for a whole week. Not everybody, but I reckon probably every other person that I prayed for had confessed some tangible difference in their lives as a result of us praying. It was just wonderful to be part of that. And I just wished I could have come back and done that for Nathan, but I couldn't. But God heals, that's the thing. That is the wonderful thing. So I just want to ask you, would somebody, are you aware of a situation, of a condition in your life or in your body that you just like prayer for at the moment? We've got one. Two. Any more? We'll collect them all. Three. I'm going to extend this in a little while, but let's start with that. Now, for you, for those three gracious people who put their hands up, would one of you be willing to come up and be prayed for at the front? I want to model this, if that's okay. I'm not going to embarrass you, but would you be willing to come up and just kind of pray at the front for you? You don't need to do that, by the way, but if you wish, that would be wonderful. We'll get on to pray for you later on. John is coming. Okay. Now, who here has never prayed for healing for somebody before and would like to? You've all prayed for healing for somebody. Okay, that's great. Well, what a well-equipped church. In which case, can I have just a couple of volunteers then who'd like to come out and just pray for John, with John? And we'll just do that little model for me, if that's all right. I'm sorry to make such a spectacle of you, but you can cope with it. Another volunteer, please. Who else would like to come and pray for John? Chris, great. So, what we're going to do... John, are you able to just say publicly what it is?
I struggle with this shoulder.
Okay.
I think it's probably arthritis.
Yeah.
And times it feels good, sometimes it's bad, sometimes really, really sore.
Okay.
Just literally that joint there.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Well, we're going to pray for that.
Okay.
So, would you like to just do the first prayer? They're asking for God, so just to pray for the Holy Spirit to come and to minister to John. And Chris, would you pray for the shoulder? And I'll do anything else. I'll sweep it up. I'll do the discussion. Yeah. So is that okay?
Yeah.
So let's pray. So, and you go first.
Heavenly Father, thank you for you. Thank you for your cross.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your presence in this building right now.
Yeah.
And I just pray that you come. Lord, I pray that you come into John.
Yeah.
Lord, come into his heart. And give him peace. Lord,
yeah.
I pray you come.
Yeah. Come, Lord.
Come to this room, Lord. Show your presence.
Mm.
Yeah. Just be aware that you are here.
Yeah.
Your strength is mighty. You are all powerful,
mm-hmm.
and loving Lord.
Yeah. Mm. Amen.
Mm.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank thee that you are the great physician. Mm. And we realize, Father, this is your body. It's the holy temple, Father, and it's hurt in part. So we pray a healing part, Father, maybe. Touched by thee, and Father, may be restored and be made whole.
Yeah.
We ask this in your precious namesake.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. So, John, are you aware of anything that's going on as we pray?
I'm aware that sometimes when I am particularly aware of God's Spirit's presence, I see an image. An image comes to my mind. And I've just seen that image.
Mm.
I'm also aware that the muscle round about my shoulder is sort of, it's not nipping, but I'm very conscious of it, whereas before I wasn't.
Mm.
It's like it's hard to describe, but it's like there's something going on there.
Mm. Are you saying it's got worse?
it's
nipping.
I wouldn't say it's got worse, but I can feel it,
yeah.
Whereas I didn't feel it before.
Okay, yeah. Well, there's a couple of really good helps to us there. One is that you have this image of that you get when the Spirit of God is present, so that's a real encouragement to us. And just something that it's not healed, but there's something that's going on. So, Lord, we want to pray some more. With these encouragements, and just want to ask that you would continue your work in John.
Mm-hmm.
We pray that you would touch this shoulder. We pray that there'll be the oil the healing balm of your spirit just touching his muscle, his joint, his bones. I pray there be healing, just the a peace, an ease coming to his shoulder. Lord, we ask for more of you, more of you. And not only do we pray for John's shoulder, but we just pray for him as a person, as a man of God, and just ask for your hand upon him, for your blessing in his life, for the fullness of your spirit. We lift him to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anything still going on?
Sorry, I'm not doing strictly here. It feels a bit looser.
Yeah?
Whereas before, sorry, it's not like strictly. It's still there, but it's not quite as bad. It's a bit looser.
Yeah. Mm. Great. Great. More please, Lord. Yeah. Yeah, great. Thank you. Thank you. So that's encouraging. He was aware of something. It's just loosened up a little bit. Healing isn't necessarily instant. And I just want to just be great to trust God for complete healing of that. And I think there can be a real mystique about healing. You feel like you've got to kind of psych something up and get very, very spiritual and intense on somebody. But actually, I think with John Wimber who kind of introduced the whole idea of talking with the person when you're praying for them and just opening up a dialogue with them. So that that third element of discuss is very helpful, actually. Because you think sometimes you just need to do a very dramatic prayer and then you finish the prayer and they're either healed or not. But actually, talking with them is a very helpful part of the process and a hint for us in our praying. And it teaches us as well in the process. My Uganda experience, Lawrence was the team leader, and he was just great. One of the last mornings we had, by the way, I'm going to pray for you in a bit. there was a group of maybe 30 or 35 lay pastors from the different villages that came for a teaching slot in the morning. And so I did a little spiel about something or other, but Lawrence really got it working well, because he did a healing workshop not dissimilar from what I've just been doing now. And he said, as I said, you know, who here has never actually prayed for somebody to be healed? And one guy put his hand up. I said, well, you come up then. So this guy came up and said, right, who here has got a problem? And this guy, lots of hands went up. But Lawrence picked up this guy and said, you come up here. So the novice prayer, then, you know, Lawrence said, okay, you do this, pray this way, this way, this way. And so he prayed for him. And the guy was actually visibly affected. He just kind of almost fell over from the touch of God's Spirit on him. But when that moment happened and it kind of concluded, Lawrence said to the novice, he said, by the way, that prayer was far too long. You just need to get straight to it. and sometimes we do think we need to have, you know, lots of flowery words to pray, but actually sometimes just get straight in, as it were. God, Holy Spirit, I want you to come right now and to touch John. Amen. And it can be as short as that. And so anyway, that was Lawrence critiquing this. What a nerve to critique somebody's prayer, eh? But Lawrence critiqued this guy's prayer. And then he said, okay, who here has never prayed for somebody to be healed? And lots of hands went up. So he said, right, all up to the front. So a whole line of these guys at the front. And so who here has got a problem? And all the hands went up. So that, right, just pair yourselves up. So they all kind of paired up along here. And then Lawrence said, okay, you need to pray this way, this way, this way, this way. And so they all prayed their prayers for these guys who'd got illnesses and problems. And I could see things happening as they prayed for them. And Lawrence said at the end, he said, okay, who knows that God has touched your body and done some healing in your life? And the hands went up. I could see about 6 or 7 hands went up. And I had my camera at the back and I took a photograph of those hands up. Just wonderful, you know, 6 or 7 people touched by God. And healing brought to their lives. Wonderful. So you very graciously raised your hand saying there's an issue for prayer. Are you okay? We're not going to do it at the front. That's fine. Are you okay if we just have two or three people gather around you and pray for you where you are? Is that okay? That's an important thing, actually, in praying for people. You don't embarrass people, and I'm very prone to embarrass people. So maybe you could just separate. Cameron, I'd like to go across this side, and Roger, stay there. And then what I want you to do is just to, I'd like two or three people to gather around each, if you would, please. And just to go through that model. Am I being clear here? So actually, it might be easy if you just stood up. That might be an easy way to do it. So if you're happy to stand up, and then just gather around them, please. Two or three, turn around and pray for them. And just you might be wise just to ask what the issue is, if that's okay. Sometimes that can't be a public thing, but sometimes it can be a public thing. So would somebody come and pray for Carolyn, please. Come on up, please, and pray for her. So it's not a counselling session, so just, you know, say what the issue is, the same way that John did, you know, what's the problem, and then just go through that model of briefly asking the Holy Spirit to come, praying for God to touch the issue, that particular problem, and then discussing, and then praying some more. So go for it. While this is going on, if somebody else would like prayer, just put your hand up, because there's other people, there's other potential prayers around. Anybody want prayer? Is that right, Amber? You want prayer? You're being volunteered? You are. Yeah, okay. I've got any more volunteer prayers over here, please? Somebody would like prayer?
It's really sore?
Yeah. Okay.
Come Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Come Holy Spirit. And show us your presence, show us your power.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Amen, yeah. Mm. Nikki, you pray about the pain. Just ask it. Ask God to heal the pain.
Dear God, I just ask that you heal Amber's pain and make it go away. So
yeah.
It's just no an agony all the time.
Yeah, amen. Come, Lord. Anything going on? Are you aware of anything?
It's a little less painful. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's not as warm.
Okay. You mean just since we've been praying?
Yeah.
It's encouraging. Let's pray some more.
Come Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Make your love and your power known.
Yeah. Just pray for a strong and deep encounter with you, Lord. More of you, please. Lord. Come, Lord. Mm-hmm. Amen. Was that helpful? Was that encouraging, those who were prayed for? Yeah. That's great. Two things that we've been talking, in essence, about physical stuff, but there's far more to healing than simply physical stuff, isn't there? We are wounded people. We are damaged people in many respects. And there's all sorts of stuff in our soul, as it were. It's not like I've got an aching knee or a shoulder or whatever, but there's stuff in our soul. And don't you think it's wonderful that Jesus is interested to deal with that as well? He makes us whole, and he just so longs for us to be freed from things that ensnare us. I just had a couple of notions before I came out, and I'm just kind of testing the water with this. But I just wonder if somebody has been, as it were, verbally abused by an older person, possibly a mother, an older woman, as it were, verbally abusing you, and that's left a kind of damage in your soul in some way. And again, just testing the water, thinking, I suspect there's somebody here who actually really likes the idea of stepping forward into a greater and fuller experience of Christ in your life. But you're kind of hiding behind a stone, as it were, because there's fear that's just holding you back. And you want it, you know, you think, yes, 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 but I'm just a bit afraid, you know. It's this kind of, shall I, shan't I, shall I, shan't I? And if you in any way resonate with those two thoughts, if possibly two different people, if that's helpful to you, then just ask for prayer. People that are right next to you to pray for you, or if you wish, me, Lindsay, John, Susan, would be really glad to pray for you. So I just want to hold those things out, that God's interested not just in bodies, but in souls. Let's pray. Jesus, we do want to thank you for the love that you have, and we are so impressed with the way you walked through life and you left a train of whole and healed and restored people wherever you went. And we want to be more closely associated with you. We want to be drawn up into experiencing more of this in our own lives, because we are damaged. But we want to not only experience more of this in our own lives, but to share this with others and to be agents of healing on your behalf for other people. So we pray that your Spirit would equip us for this, and we pray that there would be stories that come in the days, in the weeks, in the months ahead, of people that are healed because we've had the boldness in Christ to pray for them. So equip us, Lord, and we want to say thank you for this time, thank you for your love, thank you for your power, and thank you for your compassion. Amen. Amen.